A couple of years ago, I was writing a story about the Filipino community in New York City, and I had the pleasure of meeting Emma Fojanicon. She grew up an orphan in the Philippines, became a nurse, came to the U.S., saved a bunch of lives, and made a life for herself, too. And she's a lovely home cook, and she's also the mother of a terrific chef, her son, King. So when we started planning the show, we wanted to get at the food that Filipinos cook at home. And one of the easiest and most delicious is a savory and sour soup called sinigang. And Emma and King agreed to teach us how to make it. So I got to go back to Emma's New York apartment in late summer, which means we were sweating like we were in Manila, and the windows were open and the sounds of city wildlife were part of the ambiance. Let's dig in. King, great to see you again.
You too, Francis.
And Emma, thank you for having me back in your wonderful home.
Mm-hmm.
So today, you're going to show Panna make sinigang, which is an indigenous native Filipino dish.
It's a kind of, we'll make a seafood sour soup out of shrimps and salmon head and neck. It's a typical dish, but it's regional, the way they make it sour. They use tamarind, they use guava, they call batuan, and sometimes calamansi and vegetable.
Yeah. So calamansi is the lime-like
lime.
Fruit,
mm-hmm.
and guava.
Mm-hmm.
And King, when you emailed about this, you said this is absolutely one of your comfort food dishes growing up.
Oh, yeah, yeah. My mom, she used to cook it here, at least once a week. It's a soup that we had. And not always with seafood. You know, a lot of times we'll have it with pork, even beef, ribs. But what I really loved about it, I remember, is, you just get a hot bowl of rice and you put the soup on the rice, and that sourness just keeps wanting you to go back and have more and more. Like, you never have enough.
Yeah. So let's do it. Let's start with your tamarind sinigang.
Yeah, let's start cooking.
So you have this water that's a little bit white, a little bit milky. So this is water that you use to wash the rice, and you
rice
save that
washing.
Water.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When you wash the rice, I guess some of the starch comes off of the rice,
mm-hmm.
so it's kind of like a cloudy water. And when you use it in the soup, it's going to add a little body to it. I mean, you can see it now already.
Yeah.
And then the tamarind, you know, we don't get tamarind pods here, so we buy the blocks of tamarind.
Mm-hmm.
And the blocks of tamarind, all you have to do is kind of just put it in warm water, and it softens up, and then you could pull out the seeds and the like the string in there. I mean, it says seedless, but I've never really seen it. Seedless.
If it says seedless, it's a total lie, because
yeah.
the whole thing is basically
like
a mashed seeds. Block of seeds
yeah,
and
seeds
shells
like,
and
yeah.
pods and all that.
Uh-huh.
So you take that block and you put it in this water,
mm-hmm.
you heat it up so
yeah.
it softens, and then you kind of strain out the seeds and
right.
kind of push it through a sieve or something.
Yeah.
So Emma, you have basically a little tea strainer that you're using.
Yeah, I usually have a big one.
So it's not traditional to use a 2-inch strainer.
Actually, I use kind of a cheesecloth when I used to work in OR. We called it a lap pad.
One of my favorite things about your cooking, so Emma was a nurse for many years, and one of my favorite things about her cooking is her creative and inventive use of OR materials in her kitchen, including using a scalpel to debone a chicken.
To debone the chicken,
and
right.
the sutures to sew it up. I forgot how low your burners are.
King is used to his restaurant stove, so he's always a little disappointed when he comes and cooks on mom's home burners.
When it comes to a boil, we add the tomato and the onion.
So, thank you for doing all the work in advance, but it's very simple, it looks like. You have some limes cut up, you have a few tomato wedges cut up, you have some daikon radish, some onion slice, some long beans, but it seems, there's a fair number of ingredients, but it seems a pretty simple setup. We're not doing any complicated technique or anything. We're just waiting for this to boil and then adding all the vegetables.
And then shrimps and salmon head comes last.
And with salmon too, it's a really rich, oily fish, so you get a lot of that richness to balance with the sour
mm-hmm.
broth. All right, so in goes the tomatoes. Now our onions.
And then the onion.
Now with the peppers too, you have an option, like at the restaurant, I'll usually cut them up. It'll add a little more spice to it. But you can leave them whole as well. And then it's not as spicy until you break it open.
Right. So at this point, broth is starting to come up. It's at a nice simmer. You put in some onions and some tomato first.
Mm-hmm. Salt and pepper.
I'm gonna put some calamansi in there too, okay?
So now there are three kinds of sour flavor in here, between the tamarind, the tomato, and the calamansi.
We add fish sauce.
Oh, you like fish sauce in this?
A tablespoon. It makes it tasty. Back home, they use MSG, but it's not healthy. So this is a better and more natural version.
Yeah, fish sauce gives it so much umami and depth, yeah. And especially with sour things, fish sauce is so delicious.
What do you want to add next, Molly? You want to add the daikon?
No, the sitao. Okay, okay. So this is the native string beans, we call it sitao. This is harder to cook than the radish.
Yeah.
So I put it first.
So you have these long beans, you cut them into like 4-inch lengths. Mm-hmm. So a couple grinds of pepper, mm-hmm. salt. At this point, you just wait for the vegetables in stages, right? So mm-hmm. when the long beans are, you know, starting to get tender, you'll add the next thing, you'll add the next thing like that. King is looking for that sour hit. So he's just like sneaking more tamarind into the pot. So Emma, what's it like having a chef for a son when he comes and he grew up on your food, but now he comes and keeps messing with it.
I love it because he really can cook.
Oh yeah. I mean, King's a great cook, but do you ever feel a little bit like, I taught you how to do this. You can't come into my kitchen and mess my things up.
Well, yes, but it's mommy, this is the way I do it. Is that okay?
Now King just skimmed some of the foam off the top, which is such a chefy thing, and which I'm sure your mother would never do, and your mother's aunt would never do.
We add the radish.
You don't have to add all of them, that's a lot of radish. Oh.
Okay.
And so now we just added these beautiful half moons of daikon radish. I love daikon, but it's also interesting too, because when you cut into it, it's so hard.
It is.
But it cooks really fast. Mm-hmm. It gets really tender, and it really absorbs the flavor of the liquid. And
it does, yeah.
Has a little bit of its own sort of like sweet bitterness, almost like a melon kind of flavor. Mm-hmm. It's such a cool ingredient.
Better, right?
Yeah.
Now King is forcing his mother to agree that he did it better than she does.
So what's next, Ma? You want to put the peppers and
the peppers last time.
Okay, and then
the fish and the shrimp. Yeah. Okay.
Oh yeah.
So after the daikon simmered for a couple minutes, in go the shrimp. And you like the shrimp shells
heads on. And everything. Yeah. Again, it adds umami to the soup.
Yeah.
Then you add fish head.
Yeah.
You can make the whole salmon, but it's not as tasty as the head or the neck, you know. Again, the bone from the fish adds umami, you know, adds flavor, and it's really very good.
And you're sort of gently laying these salmon necks and salmon collars and heads on top of the broth. Uh-huh. And you just have them lightly poaching, and now we just covered it just to get them cooked.
Just wait till they boil.
So you came here in 1963 to New York City, and at that time there were a lot of nurses coming from the Philippines, and so you came among that group and really changed this neighborhood because there were so many Filipino nurses who lived here. Yeah.
It used to be even the doctors come from abroad, India, Persia.
And here we are, we're like in around 14th Street on the east side of Manhattan, and because there are 5 or 6 hospitals right nearby, right? Mm-hmm. So this was a huge community of all these international
And they call it the Bedpan Alley, you know?
So what do they call it?
Bedpan Alley. Yeah. From 14th Street to 34th Street. It's all hospitals, you know?
Oh, that's so fun. All right, so now you're just spooting the broth back over the fish just to make sure it's getting heat on both sides.
Yeah. Looks good, Ma.
Okay, so
looking good. It's looking good. Looking very good. A little more salt, but it's good.
Salt at the taste?
Yeah.
King's sneaking more tamarind back into the pot.
I like it too.
Oh yeah. Check it out, friends. Try it.
It smells so good. Oh, it's so good. It's light. It tastes like food you want to eat all day long, and you have like the shrimp and the fish that's sort of in the background a little bit now. Mm-hmm. Like they're sort of the base, but you get so much of that that fruitiness from the tamarind. And that's so delicious. Thank you two so much for having me back.
You're welcome. Yeah, thanks for coming back. I'm glad you like the sinigang.
Yeah, I'm going to take it with me. I'm sorry.
Now you see why it was one of my favorite dishes growing up, right?
Totally.
I'm glad you could come and taste the delicious food from the Philippines.
That was Emma Fajanicom and her son, King. He's the chef of Kuma Inn in New York City, and you can find their recipe for sinigang, as well as a video we shot with them at splendidtable.org.